Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another session of Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. I'm one of your hosts, Robin Seegers, and the other host is my husband, Elroy.
Hello, how you doing?
This session, we'll be talking about reviewing your budget and refocusing your finances during inflation. And we have our guest speaker, our financial guru, Tina Smith, with us as always. Ms. Tina is the president of the Financial Tea Coaching and Consulting Firm. She a financial coach, she a financial mentor, she is certified in all 50 states and overseas, and she penned a book and it's titled, It's Your Turn, Walk in Your Financial Purpose. Hello, Tina.
Hi. Hello, everyone. I'm really excited to be here again with you guys. It's always a great time being able to talk about finances and how we can help.
Yes. Yes. Especially at this time and you're hearing on the news. And so I thought this would be a good fall opener because, you know, everyone, we've been away for the summer. We take a break and everyone enjoyed the summer. Now it's back to business. So Tina, let's get into this. Let's start off with how people can sit down and have a strategic plan on reviewing their budget to see where they are thus far.
Yeah. So here's the thing. The price of everything has gone up. So whatever budget you had pre-summer, it's over. Whatever you felt like you were paying in groceries as a whole, for the month, whatever you felt like you were doing on gas for the month, it's not going to work because you have priced it at what you were paying at the time, and it's not that anymore. So my recommendation would be for you to raise whatever you have on your budget. I would recommend raising it probably about 20%. So if you were, if you felt like you were spending $100 on gas a month, consider raising it to $120 a month. That way you could feel as though you're taking a little bit more control of your dollars, and you will notice that you have less money left over, but at least you know where you are and can then start to manage going forward with more spending.
Because we all know, like every December and every November, the holidays are coming up. So people are going to want to travel. They're going to want to spend, enjoy family. So this is actually a good time to sit down and see, like forecast what you can do over the holidays.
Yep.
I can agree with that. If that is you and you feel like that you want to spend some dollars, you know, during the holidays, what I was telling a client earlier this week was that gift cards, their prices don't go up. So say if you wanted to buy your favorite toddler nephew this toy, and the price of that toy has gone up, I don't know, $15, $20, $25, $30. Well, maybe instead of getting that toy at the more expensive price, maybe consider giving the gift card, and then, you know, the child's parents can then go take them and they can pick out, you know, that particular toy. And then, you know, at least you were able to put something on it. But because of how inflation is going right now, I think gift cards is just going to be the best way to go as far as gift giving this year.
That's a great idea. And it saves you a lot of time and hassle and running around. That's an excellent idea. So as well as if you're traveling, like Tina said, you have to increase your budget for gas if you're driving. You have to increase your budget for airline tickets or any kind of travel tickets because everything has gone up.
That's a fact.
Yes. So, what I would recommend for those that are looking to fly for Christmas, be flexible with your flight plans. You may not really care to fly into your destination on Christmas Day, but it's going to be less expensive than if you did Christmas Eve or maybe even Christmas Eve Eve. So, consider flying in either on the 25th, or you might have to fly in quite a few days early to get a decent flight price. I would also recommend that if you are driving, consider planning out how much that may cost, based on the number of miles that you're going to travel, and keep your speed at as stable as you can. When you go
Well,
fast, go slow, go fast, go slow. That spends more gas. So consider setting it on cruise control at a safe speed and just let it go and just drive. I would also recommend traveling during times where the traffic isn't very high. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. So, like today, coming home from a place where I was doing some business today from the D.C. area, it literally took 2 hours to get 42 miles. And of
Whoa.
course, when you're sitting there in traffic, you're stopping, you're going, that could cause some extra gas being spent. So instead of driving, to your destination at a time where a lot of traffic will be, like during the day, consider going old school. I remember when I was younger and we would drive from South Carolina or North Carolina or the DC area where my dad was in the military and drive to Indiana where, my family's from. We would get up at midnight and hit the road. And I'm telling you what, you could just, hit the road and it's you and the trucks. And it's really
Yep,
hard to be
that
able to go. Right. And
is
then
so
you're able
true.
to spend, there's not going to be a whole lot of stopping and going and things of that nature. So you coast, you get there where when you need to get there. Now, of course, you're going to have to, consider going to sleep in the middle of the day. So, you're a vampire at night. But hey, this might be an opportunity for you to save some money. You could just zoom, on the highway again at a safe speed again. Maybe consider cruise control so your speed will stay stable and then you could spend less gas. So those are just some tips on saving, money. And hey, every penny these days helps.
Yeah, that's what we normally do. I like to leave early in the morning so we can avoid. Well, we got to turn the air conditioning because it's pretty cool, depending on the time of year, and
Oh,
people are
yes.
asleep.
Yeah.
Less traffic, so I'm right along with you when it comes to riding earlier in the daytime. Can be a little tough. But I do want to ask you a question. You was talking about adjusting your budget, and typically, we look at our budget. Our finances every month just to make sure things are in line, are lined up. When you are in a situation where you was are barely making ends meet, and now you still need to get gas in your car, you got to buy groceries. What are some suggestions with, that you can say, when you re-look at your budget when it comes to paying certain things down or off, how should we approach those payments of credit cards, phone, light, house? What should we look at and analyze first? Like somebody may not get paid at the end of the month because of X, Y, and Z. What should be our approach when it comes to paying off bills or paying bills?
To create a headline for that question, I would say be proactive. And what I mean by
Okay.
that is if there's a situation to where you feel like you're not able to, take care of all the needs. And so this is my presumption here is that the person is living on bare necessities as is. So this is, going to work and coming home, going grocery shopping and cooking at home, so there's not a lot of eating out. There's no, extra hair done, no extra nails. So the bare necessities are already taking place in this situation. So with that, so wait, let me back up. So if you are not living just on bare necessities, consider going down to bare necessities. So
Okay.
consider, maybe you don't get your hair done every month. Maybe it's an every other month situation. Maybe you could learn to do some styles, you know, on your own at home. YouTube was my best friend when I went natural. And so there was this lady that I would, two ladies that I would watch, and I would come up with some bomb hairstyles watching these ladies. And so I would be at home, I would be practicing, you know, stuff like that. So I wasn't going out a lot, you know, to eat and stuff like that, because I was trying to get my hair done, you know, myself without spending, you know, extra money. You know, my nails, you know, aren't done. You know, pedicures and stuff are at the bare minimum. So if you're seeing as if you, you know, your budget seems a little off,
yeah,
and you're not able to take care of all the things that you feel like you need to take care of, calm down a little bit on, you know, looking nice just for a little bit. I'm not saying permanently, but just for a little while. And then you can get back to that when things, you know, get back in balance. But if you're already at bare necessities, then I would consider making some phone calls and being proactive to your utilities companies, your water, your gas, trash, phone. Call them and say, this is the situation here, and get on a budget plan. And a lot of companies would prefer that you call them and be proactive than for them to start sending you threatening notes. And then now you come and say, oh, well, this is what has been happening for the past 6 months. Well, had you been proactive, they'd been very, you know, a lot more lenient, and, you know, they would have been able to work with you better versus now they're threatening. So
right,
this is just to be proactive, you know, in that. And when it comes to debt, like credit card debt and everything like that, there's a difference between a minimum payment and then paying to, you know, really pay down your debt. If that you're in a situation to where, you know, your bare necessities and you're not able to make all your ends meet, and, you know, do a little bit of goals of as far as putting extra dollars to, you know, debt, consider just making the minimum payments until you can get to a point to where you can add a little bit more. Credit card companies would prefer that you at least do the minimum payment. I recognize that, you know, interest charges will be higher. I got all that. I understand. But, you know, if you're in a situation to where you cannot do any better, at least make your payments on time. And if you're unable to make the minimum payment that they say, again, be proactive. Call them and say, let's cut a deal here. I can't do $200, though. That's the minimum payment. I could do $50. And just be proactive in that, versus in the credit card situation, they're, you know, posting on your credit that you're late 3 days, because trust me, if your minimum payment is $25 and you pay $20, you're late. Regardless, they will not take that payment and apply it to where it's an on-time payment. If you're short, you're late. So at least communicate with them in a proactive manner. And that way they can take some notes and stuff. And then as they're reporting you in good standings. So now your credit's not shot. I hope that made sense.
So even if you negotiate something with credit, they're still going to be reported as late, but they can make a notation that you're working with them, so it can still be in good standards. That's what I'm hearing.
That's correct. So if you're proactive with them now, this is not after you've been, you know, after you the $25 minimum payment, you've made the 20, and it's been the minimum payment of 25 this whole time. They're going to count you as late because you didn't make the minimum payment.
Right.
However, if you proactively connect with them and say, I cannot do 25, I can do 20, then they'll add the note. And then as they're reporting you, you're still in good standing with them because you are honoring what you said that you would do. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, it does. And I guess you also got to make sure.
No, please.
Oh, see, I guess you also got to make sure you align your wants and your needs up too. You got to determine what is got to know the difference between what a want is and what a need is. And don't get confused in some of the things, you know, that, you know, hey, I need to go out on this lunch date with my friends and spend 20 bucks. You know, really, do you need to, you know, spend $20 with your friends? And sometimes you may have to deprive yourself in order to meet those bills. And like you said, it's only going to be short-lived as you make adjustments in your budgeting. And I like what you said. You really need to just look at it and make sure you get the things that you need to be paid off and address those things as they happen. So I do like that approach.
Well, I would let's create another scenario that you were just alluding to. So you were saying I need to go and spend $20 out with my friends to go to X, Y, and Z. What about if you guys had come together at one of your homes, it doesn't matter who, and you guys did a potluck, and maybe you guys just spent $10 a piece. Now everybody can eat, you know,
right.
You know, creative things like that. Maybe it's going to the park and throwing some hot dogs on the grill and buying some chips and some sodas, and we're done. And everybody trying to chip in a total of $30. So it could be some very inventive things you do. You don't have to go to the top of the line brunch, you know, at the rooftop, such and such. You know, you don't have to do all that. You guys could, you know, be really inventive, you know, and start balling on a budget.
Yeah, make smart moves and smart decisions. And not, you know, and definitely anything that's, you know, spur of the moment type of spending, you know, try to avoid it as much as possible. Have some control when it comes to your spending habits. And, you know, we all know everything has changed. You know, everything is getting more expensive. You know, my wife, you know, I said, how much did we get? We used to spend $20-$50 and we just get like tons of groceries in the car. Now it's like 3 bags. I'm like, is that it? She's like, yeah, that's it. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, you know, it's like, they are just robbing us blind. But you got to eat, you know. You know, we try to do wise spending. I'm a big person as far as, you know, how much you pay per ounce and how much of a savings do I get? Can I afford to get the bigger bottle at a cheaper ounce? Would it save in the long run? Do I have the money to buy that big bottle now and deprive myself of something later? So I'm really big at like looking at the per ounce or per penny or per dollar cost at that item. So we're not, let's get a bigger one because it'll last longer. And next paycheck we don't have to get that. Put that money towards something else. So I always look at those things also when I'm shopping and stuff.
Yeah. You and I, we're those people.
Yeah.
You and I are going to be those comparing the different size boxes of cereal. Okay, this is 7 ounces. 4 ounces. If I get this 15 ounce though, I'm not even paying double 15.
Yeah.
So
That's
us. And you know what? We're okay people.
Yeah.
We're not jerks,
we're okay people. Yeah, I know. I say, and that box of cornflakes lasts a whole lot longer.
Listen, it do too.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask this question. I know we going into November and we're talking about budget review, but I heard Elroy say he reviews our family budget once a month. How often should people actually be reviewing their budget? I know it's based on their preference, but really, how often should they be looking at it?
So this is a great question, and my answer is going to say it depends, because I like for people to consider how many times they get paid per month. Some people get paid weekly, bi-weekly, twice a month, and when I say bi-weekly and twice a month, they're totally different. Because when you get paid bi-weekly, you get paid 26 times a year. When you get paid twice a month, it's actually 24. So they are different.
Right.
Some people get paid just once a month. So depending upon how often you get paid, that's when you need to be. Let's take, for instance, let's say you get paid every other Friday. If you're in the federal government, this is you. So you get paid every other Friday. In fact, I think it's this upcoming Friday you guys get paid. So with that being said, today, tomorrow, or Thursday is the time you need to be looking at your budget and saying, okay, what is coming out this particular pay period? What can I save during this pay period? What can I add to pay down debt during this pay period? What can I add towards my investments during this pay period? You know, if I have life insurance, does my insurance payment come out this pay period? So these are all the things that you can consider, you know, when getting paid. Yep. But I always like to tell clients, you know, at least on a monthly basis, that way, you know, this upcoming month. So today is what, the 25th? So this is a great time to start looking at what your November expenses will be for the entire month and say, okay, let's plan out what every pay period will be. So I break down my budget worksheet per pay period. So my husband and I are both retired military. We're both getting disability from the military. So we both have those checks. Then my husband gets paid twice a month. So I've got a budget for the times we get our retirement pays and disability, and then the time where he gets paid that first check of the month and then the second check. And so all of the items that are coming out every check is, you know, is annotated. And that way we're able to say, okay, golly, we weren't able to, you know, save this check. Why not? Let's reorganize some things.
Yeah.
Maybe this phone bill that's $225, maybe that will come out this first check. Maybe that comes out the second check where we have more dollars to spare. You know, so sometimes it gives you a great opportunity to reorganize. I was working with a client last week, and we did this exact thing to where we're looking at every paycheck and what bills and expenses come out of every check. And what we found is one of the checks is hundreds of dollars in the hole because of the rent. So what we've done is but then there's like a $1,500, $2,000 excess in the other checks, if that makes sense. So what we've done is we've said, which is great, right? So we said, okay, on the pay periods where we don't pay the rent in full, then we're going to take the money that we don't need and keep it for that next pay period, so we can, so you know, we could break even, if that makes sense. You know,
that's what I do too.
Yeah, and then another option could be breaking your rent up every pay period. So every pay period, you take out half or a third or whatever. You know, and in that way, you know, once the rent comes, you already put that money to the side, but you got to be in a position to where you could do that ahead of time instead of being reactive, you're being proactive.
And not only that, you got to realize when you do a split mortgage or a split rent that you're going to have a little bit more in that paycheck because it's really going to be going towards the rent the next paycheck. So you can't go out and spend, well, you got an extra $1,000. You got to, you know, put that money aside. I mean, you have like a savings account. You may say, let me put this in my savings account for the rent or renting account. And then when it comes back, transfer it back. Something where you know that money is allocated for that mortgage. Because one of the young ladies that I, go ahead. I would say one of the young ladies that I work with, I do just that. I remind her, look, you know, you get paid twice a month, every other week. So half the rent is for this out of this paycheck and half for the next paycheck. Those two together gets you on the fifth, get your paycheck, you know, get your money for your mortgage. So now she didn't have it realizing that, hey, half of this paycheck or $1,000 a check or $800 a check, I know for a fact, I cannot spend $800 of this check because it's going to go towards my rent. And it balances her out as far as having money every pay period versus just saying, this pay period I got $400, this pay period I don't have $2. So it helps her to balance and feel like she's getting paid and start paying herself every week versus that I can only live once a month. She's living every paycheck and every day.
Right. Yeah. And I would say, you know, depending upon the kind of car loan that people have, because I do see some of, you know, these car notes, and you know, we're talking $500, $600, $700, which is a large expense, you know, probably the second largest expense out of the home outside of the mortgage, at least I hope. So with that being said, sometimes even, you know, taking money, half of the dollars every pay period on that could also help. So that's one thing. A caveat to all of this though is there's going to be 1 month that you start this that you're going to be like, I can eat only ramen noodles this month, because you've already paid your rent, and then now the next couple of checks you're taking, you know, to that. So you, even though you paid your rent for the month, the next couple of checks you're taking that money out and you're gonna be like, oh my goodness, I have no money. You do, but you're working ahead of time. But another thing that I would recommend is allotments. And so most people are able to take or to do a form or even go online, depending upon who the paycheck provider is. And you can say, I'm going to take the amount of money that is half my rent and half my car payment, and whatever that tally is, allot that to a different bank account or have that put in to my bank account. So when the bill comes out, I can just write the check and we're good, if that makes sense. So sometimes allotments can really help as well.
Yeah, it makes sense, because you see that money in your account, you may tend to forget that money goes for a different purpose. So like that.
Oh yeah. Oh, I got an extra $1,000. No, you don't.
Yeah, it's extra for next 2 weeks. It's extra.
Okay.
It has a purpose. So it has a name on it.
We don't want you to come home and your stuff is on the curb, or you know, you hear this beep and you're looking at, oh my goodness, they're after my car. No, you don't want that to be you. Get your whole life together.
So I had my car in my garage.
Look, because some of them folks, they put that little thing in your car. They're going to find it. Like it or not, they're going to find you.
Take my car for air tags.
They don't be playing these games anymore with people. They don't.
So your budget is a living document. It's forever changing. It's forever updated. So it's not write it down and that's it. You have to work on it constantly.
It's a living budget.
Yes, there is not a set it and forget it. If your utility, let's take for instance, we have a sprinkler system in our yard and we just got it turned off yesterday. So our water bill will be different in the wintertime than it is the summertime because, you know, the sprinkler system, they automatically turns on during the summertime in the morning before it gets too hot, X, Y, and Z. So instead of our water bill say $150, $200, it's probably going to be closer to $50 a month. So because of that change, I'm going to be going in and changing my budget. So let's say it's $200 a month during the summertime, but during the winter, it's $50. Well, that looks like I have an extra $150. Where can I put those dollars to? Can I put maybe more towards savings? Can I maybe put that towards reducing a credit card debt? Can I, you know, maybe move that $150 to, you know, long-term investments that I already got going? Can I divert that to my 401k plan or whatever? So these dollars aren't there to just, you know, go buy up the bar. These dollars are now available for you to go do something proactive with them. But you got to have a plan, because if you don't have a plan, you're going to waste the money and that $150 is going to go poof. And, you know, let's say you went to, I don't know, Ruby Tuesdays and decided, you know, $150 meal. Well, you're going to be hungry tomorrow. So let's put that money toward something that will give you a long-term benefit.
Wow.
You remember?
So I always say, this is an intentional process. You have to be intentional about your money.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, your money will intentionally leave you.
Yes.
And you're never going to be able to retire. You're never going to go to vacation. You're never going to get that luxury car that you said that you wanted at age 45. That's never going to happen. If you don't have a plan, it's not going to happen. There's not going to be all these checks that float out the sky. Nobody's really, you know, unless you've got somebody in your family that's super generous, nobody's just going to drive up and here's your Mercedes, you know, SS86. I don't know what it is, but you know, no, that's not going to happen. If you're going to do this, you have to be absolutely intentional. And what I find is that people who are lackadaisical on their budget is because they don't have a why. They don't have a goal in place to say, you know what, short term I want to do this, midterm I want to do this, long term I want to do this. And if you don't have those goals in place, your money's going to dwindle away and you're going to be wondering where your money went versus telling your money where to go.
Right. And everything that you're saying, write it down. Yeah. Write down your budget so you can see it. Write down your purpose, your long-term, your short-term goals. It's important to write it down because now it's in your face and it's something you have to constantly think about. Because if you have it in your mind, it's good as forgotten.
Yeah.
It is good as forgotten. And, you know, so for those who are listening that, you know, are Bible readers, the word says, write it down, make it plain, make the vision.
Make it plain.
And in a practical sense, statistics show that you are more than 40% more apt to achieve that goal because it's written down. That has nothing to do with Christianity, that has nothing to do with the Bible, nothing. It's a statistic fact. So regardless,
visual people,
it works in the fallen world and in the saved world. It works.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I know a lot of times sitting down to make a plan can sometimes be very painful because it makes you realize what you have or what you do not have. And a lot of times it's starting that process. It can be because it's a wake up call. you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in worse shape than I had. Or some people like say, whoa, I'm in great shape. It could be on one end of the spectrum or the other. But I always tell people, don't you want to know where you are so you can move forward versus just living, as they say, paycheck to paycheck and without a plan? I mean, don't you want to know exactly what you can do in 6 months versus like saying, oh, I'm just going to fly by the seat of my pants? You know, planning with your money is incredibly smart because it allows you to do things that you normally couldn't do if you don't plan for it. You know, you can't put everything on a credit card.
Right. So the thought process that you speak of, if majority of the individuals had that same thought process, I would never look for another client because I'd have too many clients. I wouldn't have enough hours in the day to take care of all my clients.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. It just does not happen. Wow. There are many financial professionals in the United States. None of us are busy enough because there is not enough people to think that way. More individuals, the majority of the individuals would prefer to fly by the seat of the pants and live paycheck to paycheck and keep their head in the sand and not see exactly what's going on, especially if they're fearful, especially if, you know, they've run up credit card debt and they just can't brace themselves to see what that looks like. They just rather just keep on keeping on until, you know, the debt collectors are so much they have to file for bankruptcy. And that's what a lot of people do. Statistics show that only 20%. So think of you two and three of your homies. Only two of y'all are going to be financially set when you're 65 and ready to retire. Two.
Wow.
I'm sorry. That actually is out of 10 of y'all. Two. Two of y'all gonna make it. Two.
Wow.
I heard somebody today say that they live for today because tomorrow's not promised to anyone, but you still have to prepare for tomorrow.
So, you know, I've been in this industry for 8 years and I absolutely love it. Actually, it'll be 9 in January, which I can't believe, but I've been in this industry since 1 January of 2014. And you will not believe the number of people that I've had sit across the desk from me. I haven't had that since I've become the financial T, but when I was working as, you know, a financial advisor with another company, folks that sat across my desk and would tell me, well, you know, tomorrow's not promised. And, you know, what if I don't live, you know, to whatever age? And you know what I say? What if you do?
Right.
And that always, you know, takes them aback a little bit in pause. And I also then caveat to say, okay, what if you don't? What position are you leaving your children, your spouse, your parents, your loved ones, your church? What position are you leaving them in if you, you know, don't? And so that's when we start talking about, you know, the importance of making sure that your affairs are in order, whether it be in health or life, different health and life insurances, whether that be in investments, whether that be in 401ks, whether that be in estate plan, you know, because we hear all the time of these, you know, celebrities or not, you know, people, regular people who've got assets and, you know, now there's infighting between, you know, the siblings, who has the house, who don't, who's going to get the car, who's going to get mom's, you know, favorite ring. I'm the favorite child and you're not. If these things are written down in legal documents, you know, then there's no question of what, you know, your desire is. So I always give them a, what if you live? And then if you do pass away, like you say, let's be prepared to make sure that your family is not left in shambles.
And that is so true. That's a word right there.
Also, to you guys' name, Gifted Generations. These decisions that we, the three of us, make will affect the generations that come behind us.
Amen.
You know, children, grandchildren, great, you know. And the word says that, you know, a good person leaves inheritance for their children and grandchildren and even beyond.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
Choose,
I mean,
yeah.
and then on the flip side, in the practical world, look at all these millionaires and billionaires who we call them trust fund kids, but shucks. I mean, these kids never have to work a day in their life if they don't have to.
Make me a trust fund kid. Make me a trust fund kid.
You know,
I won't be mad.
You know, because granddad or great granddad, you know, the Hilton chain. Didn't
yeah.
start with Paris, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Started with,
mm-hmm.
you know, with generations behind her. So, you know, let's do what wealthy people do by putting our affairs in order and passing these things down to generations. And you might not, somebody listening might not say, well, that ain't got nothing to do with a budget. It has everything to do with the budget. Because
yeah.
if you start now, to my point about my water bill is going to change, this $150 that I just saved because my sprinkler system is off could go to my son's investment for his college or for his future.
Right. Right.
Could do
right.
something. So don't assume that any money that you save is going to, you know, well, we're just going to go to McDonald's or go to Chick-fil-A extra. No. Divert those dollars. Have a plan to divert those dollars for something that is beyond you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And some, wow. and a, one, a generation has to make that sacrifice to
yeah.
do that because it's not going to happen by itself. Like our generation have to make that sacrifice for the next ones behind us. Somebody has to put the work in. Because the Hilton, someone put the work in for them to reap the benefits now. Somebody
yep.
did it.
Somebody did it. Somebody put the money in investments. Somebody decided, you
mm-hmm.
know, let's start a hotel. You know, let's start a
mm-hmm.
hotel somewhere. I don't know what their
mm-hmm.
story is to begin with, but let's start something. Oh, well, in order for us to pass this on, the most economical way to do this is through life insurance. Yeah, let's spend a couple
mm-hmm.
thousand dollars a month to leave our kids billions of dollars. It is a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got to do it. And I went to, shout out to Poets in Autumn in Richmond, Virginia, where we had, there's this group of poets that come together and they perform around the country. They're awesome. Three of them are battle rappers that I follow. They're excellent. And then I got to know the three other individuals that are poets, and they're the bomb. There's one female poet, and then there's five guys. Just an excellent show. At that show that I bought, this sweatshirt that says, "I'm breaking generational curses."
Come on now.
That sweatshirt said everything to me. So
yeah.
I feel like I'm breaking general curses in my own family, but then what I do
mm-hmm.
as a profession and a passion, I'm breaking
mm-hmm.
general curses for all your listeners, for everybody
mm-hmm.
that follows me, you know, on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
on Insta, on Facebook, LinkedIn, because, you know, Tina the Money and Sports Chick is in the building, and I'm breaking generational curses for families, and I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you also passing on that knowledge, man, that skill set of how to handle those things, because passing it on to somebody else who doesn't know how to manage it, they're going to blow it on that generation. Oh, this is all for me? Okay, cool. Passing on that knowledge, said, no, it ain't all for you. It's for you and those behind you. Take a little bit, but don't spend it all. So that knowledge of passing on that mindset and that knowledge, that wisdom, it's just as essential as you having the budget that you're financial, that you're making things a plan. You also got a plan to skill your kids and people around you that want to listen. Because not everybody want to hear it.
That's true. And that's absolutely true. And it's never too early to let your kids in on the secret. Case in point.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great example of this. When GameStop was a thing, okay, now
mm-hmm.
my son orders all his games online, whatever, right? So when GameStop was a thing and he had his whatever game that you had and it kind of flipped up and you had controllers at the bottom and the screen was at the top or whatever handheld, whatever he had, I can't think of the name. right now, but either way, he would go to GameStop, and we trained him early. When you go to these places, never buy new. Buy your gaming system refurbished, buy your games on sale. So let's say we went and the sale was five games for $20, or he could buy one game for $30. When my son goes to GameStop, he don't even know what the new section looks like. He goes right to the back. He knows. He knows. He is his mother's child. He knows exactly where to go so he can get more bang for his buck. Now he doesn't buy games as much. At least he doesn't have to go to GameStop. He can order them online. But he and I have sat down and did a budget. He gets his $50. He writes down, what things come out of his budget and when. So, his Apple subscription comes out here. He's got gas money. How much gas money will he put in his car a week? I mean, he's 17. He's driving to and from school, practice, hangouts, whatever he's doing, other, football games, whatever. If he wants to hang out with friends, how much money does he have this, during this time of the month where he can hang out with friends and they can go to, Chick-fil-A or Tropical Smoothie. So, he has that. And if he says, you know
Wow.
what, I want these new J's, he knows that he needs to save his money. So if he's going
Amen.
to get these new J's, he's gonna be like, well, I guess I'm not buying this new PlayStation game for the next whatever.
Right.
I'm gonna get these J's. Or my son is patient. He'll look at the date. He'll be like, my birthday coming up. Let me let the people that love me know this is what I want. Christmas, grandma, there's these J's. My son knows what's up. He knows what's up.
Right.
So, it's never too early. So when he goes on his own, he has that. Because, I mean, he's going to be going to college in a couple of years. He knows that he's just not going to just get his money. He's just going to have a room full of J's. Or, his PlayStation catalog is going to be amped up. He knows what to do. So when he
Right.
is left with whatever we provide to him, and now we have stipulations in our state plans. So let's not be stupid, right? So, what we've got those things in place to where he knows how to act, and then there's also different parameters so that he doesn't spend all that money and it guarantees goes to his kids. He can't spend it all. So we're able to make those provisions, but it's never too early to start. And I'm gonna tear your head off with this one. Our son, who is 17 years old, he is the successor of and a trustee of our estate plan. So he has gone to these estate meetings with us. So the last meeting that we had, he's come in with us, so he knows the assets that we've got. He knows what moves need to be made. Once we're done, he knows where to find the information because he's been trained. It's not too early. And when that happened, he just turned 17 a couple weeks ago. So he was 16 when this happened. We're like, son, you're old enough. You need to be in this meeting because if your parents, die, you got to know what's happening. You got to know, what to do. So don't sell your kids short. Your kids are smarter than you think. They see what's going on. They hear what you say, but they see what you do. And it's very important. It's very important for, those two to line up.
That is so key, because our oldest son is here. The other one is in military overseas, but the oldest one here, oh, he watch his money like a hawk, and he work like crazy. He won't even buy a new car when she could, because he's like, nope, I'm gonna ride it till the wheels fall off,
The
because I don't
wheels
want a
fall off. I
car.
know that's
He's
right.
like, I don't want a car payment, so we leave him alone. But he watches his money. He works and he saves his money. He tithes and gives to the church. And I mean, he's doing his retirement and stuff. I mean, he's doing his thing. And it's like, we have to instill that in our kids. If we're going to be working to create a generational wealth, we have to teach, like you said, teach our kids the same values, because you could be working for nothing and they spend it all or blow it all and you did all this for nothing. So it's more to just working for the money. Is you have to, like Tina said, you have to teach your kids what to do with it.
Amen.
And all of this, you can't do none of this without having that budget.
Yeah.
Living and breathing document on a regular basis. It all starts there. We're talking breaking generational curses, making sure our kids have money. It all starts with budget.
That one document.
It all starts there. Right. We can't assume that all the extra dollars that we have is going to magically appear somewhere. We have to be intentional, to your point, Robert. We have to be very intentional on where these extra dollars go. We have to be.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And then our kids are going to struggle. And who wants their children or grandchildren? Who wants that? You know?
Right.
I've met people who don't care, but I don't know many people that don't care about, you know, their children and grandchildren, how they were going to live life after, you know, you're old.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, wow. Good talk.
Powerful session. I hope people listen to this and take some valuable information from this. And it's time to get to work, people. It's time to get to work. So, Tina, if you want to let everyone know how they can contact you, so in case they wanted to meet up with you or set up an appointment.
Thank you again, guys, for always hosting me. You guys are always gracious, being able to allow me to speak. So I always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we mention you all the time. We talk to people. When it comes to money and finances, yes. I always talk about you.
Appreciate you. So I'm Tina Smith, the Financial T. You can always reach me on my website at thefinancialt.org. That is thefinancial, the letter T.org. And on anything social, Insta, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, I am Tina, the Money and Sports Chick. That is Tina,
the got a new tag. Money
and Sports Chick on all those things, social media. So I have opened my doors to athletes. And so I'm really excited about the opportunities to work with professional athletes, whether it be major league, minor league, local league, whatever, because these young men and women need to know that as they get these extra dollars, how to keep their money long. And I am here to absolutely team up with their agents. I'm here to team up with, you know, them directly if that's their choice. But I don't need to be the team. I need to be on the team. So Coach Tina. And, you know, it's time for us to blow the whistle on some of these myths, you know, that these men and women are dealing with. And, you know, I want mama to have a house, but let's do it in the right way.
Right.
I want you to have a house, but let's do it the right way.
So,
right.
But yeah, but helping these athletes. So, yes, there is Tina, the Money and Sports Chick. So I'm really excited about, you know, my social where money and sports cross. That's always a topic.
Right.
I like what you said. You're gonna be a myth buster.
Yes. We blowing the whistle. That's what we call it.
Blowing the whistle. All right now. All right.
Tina, that as always, thank you, and congratulations on expanding your business. I know it's gonna do wonderful. I know it's gonna do great things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Gotta look that up too for new tags and stuff. Gotta tell people where to find her now. We'll make sure we send them in the right direction. For us, for IG is gift.gen. On YouTube, you just need to search button, just type in Gift of Generations. You see all the lovely things my wife has posted. She does a great job of posting and all the editing and stuff. So I applaud her for those things. See on Facebook, we actually can be found on the Gifted Gen LLC. And then our website, our home website is Gifted Generations with an S -LLC.com. And like Robin and I always say, don't forget that dash. Because if you get that dash, I'm not going to tell you where you're going to end up. You may end up somewhere. You may be like, whoa, the dash, the dash, the dash, the dash, the dash. Put that dash in there.
And also, we can now be Financeology 101 is now on Spotify as well as Google Play. So you listen to your podcast on either of those platforms. You can find us there. Tina, can you give me your social media handle again? I want to write it down, make sure I put it in the bio. Okay.
Absolutely. Tina.
Go ahead.
Yep. Tina, the money and sports chick.
Money and sports.
And that's for everything. Facebook, Twitter.
And Twitter more specifically, money and sports. Money and sports chick. So I'm there.
The Mythbuster.
Yes, sports. The whistle.
All right, like and that's that. Twitter. Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. As always, you guys are always so gracious. Thank you.
Thank you, and we appreciate you. And you have a good night.
And you guys. All right. Thank you. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. You
all right,
too.
Yeah, take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financeology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.